Welcome to the Spinfoil Theory Podcast with your host, The Bagels, and Taylor B. If you haven't listened to us before, this is an advanced session podcast where we don't necessarily teach and go into deep reference of everything that we talk about, but that doesn't say we're exclusive about it either. You can reach out to us on Twitter at Spinfoil Theory. You can hit us on Gmail at spinfoiltheory@gmail.com. You can reach myself, the Taylor B, at on Twitter at this is Red Leader, LITRE, all one word. And with that out of the way, let's talk about this week's topic. This week, we have a bit of a rabbit hole with you, which is a bit of an irregular session. This is instead of us having sort of defined theory that we talk about, it's that we go down the rabbit hole, if you will, of a topic that seems to lead in a myriad of directions. For this week, our special subject is Anor. Why should we listen to her? Is she a true representative of the Vanguard against the Drifter? Could she be a Nigerian prince? You can
She just
laugh at that.
wants our guns.
She just wants. Okay. So before I'll talk about the in-depth of that joke, since we didn't really react to it too much. We deadpanned very hard there. It's the whole idea is in the season of the Drifter, there was a choice you could make. You could side with the Drifter. You could side with the what I'll call air quotes Vanguard. You don't sign with Zavala, you don't sign with Ikora, you would side with this person you've never actually met, someone who's only contacted you through email, called Anor. She is a Praxic Fire Warlock, and I feel like she fits, much to the Bagel's point before we started recording here, she fits that sort of classic loose cannon cop sort of feel, if you missed that season or you're not familiar with Letters from Anor. And what we're going to talk about tonight is just basically like if we feel like we could even like what's the deal? What's the deal with Anor? Like what the fuck? So to me, for me, there's this person who emails you randomly, you've never met them in person, and tells you to side against someone you've known for some time now. And then at this point in the game, we had known the Drifter, and he had been accepted in the tower, and the Vanguard seemed cool with it. Up until that point, this is all like pre that season. And she just emails you and is like, "Yo, I need you to spy on the Drifter for me. Just if you could just tap his hole, just leave this communicator there. It's cool." And I just. To me, I feel like given the choice between the actual two, if you recognize that perhaps she is not the embodiment of the Vanguard, she's the odder choice. Now, in that whole season, if you look into the lore, she isn't actually siding with what the Guardian is told the Vanguard has decided. The Vanguard has instructed people to lay off the Drifter. They've allowed the Drifter in the tower, because it's kind of hard to say the Vanguard is against the Drifter when he's allowed in their base of operations. At least in my view. Not to skew the rundown for everyone with my leanings. Sorry about that. And she just starts messaging the Guardian one day, your character, and she's like, "Hey, like this guy's not cool. He's clearly bad. So even though we've never met and you have no idea who I am, I don't know if necessarily betray is the right word, but you should spy on this person that you at least have some connection with." The bagels, what's your take on this situation? Like
Basically,
who
how
is
it's
this
set
bitch?
up.
Yeah.
So you get these emails out of the blue. A person that you have never interacted with, a person that you. I don't. As far as I'm aware, Anor isn't mentioned prior to Season of the Drifter. I could be wrong about that, but you have
Not that I'm
absolutely
aware of.
no interaction with this person coming into Season of the Drifter. And just out of the blue, she's like, "Yeah, go spy on the Drifter because he's clearly shady." And you're like, "What?" why am I doing this? And expect me to do it. Why? He's giving me guns.
Yeah. Dude, for real, like, she comes out of left field and is, like, this guy that they've accepted as a new vendor, given space, and then he was, like, granted, before Season of the Drifter, he was behind the soda machine. Or at least, like, next to it. Yeah, you remember that little, like, back corner you had to get to him? I think there's a piece of lore there now. It was, like, down and around the corner. Now there's, like, a downstairs area where he has a... So, I know everyone is willing to tell you that what he's standing next to is, like, a darkness tank, like you would bank into. I have the personal belief that that is a shower he's made to look like the darkness tank so that he can stay fresh.
It's pretty good. I like that.
Yeah, you know, because, like, otherwise, where does he even go to the bathroom? Like, come on. Like, yeah. So, that stupidity behind us.
And based on that, it's completely logical where you're like, why the heck should we trust this person we've never met before, named Anor, who, I mean, having a Comrade Seal, being a member of the Praxic Order, those are pretty significant achievements, and she's a member of Ikora's Hidden, so clearly she actually has some credentials, and the Vanguard, for the most part, would back her up. Now, it's pretty clear, initially, that it seems like the Vanguard has established their support for the Drifter, and have asked Anor to step back from the situation, and basically stop her investigation. Basically, all of the lore we receive in Season of the Drifter suggests that Vanguard does not want Anor to go with that investigation into the Drifter. There are several topics baked in there where Anor is just driving against them, and eventually we learn why it seems the Vanguard has asked Anor to not investigate the Drifter, specifically because the Drifter is helping Shin and the Vanguard stop fledgling dredgens and in the case of Callum, not so fledgling from propagating darkness throughout the tower and throughout the Guardians.
For me, and that's all true. For me, it's sort of like you find out subsequently she's a member of the Praxic Fire, but you don't know that when she first messages you. You find that out through, like, her letters, and your letters to her. Sort of, you end up going in this back and forth, and you find out she's a member of the Praxic Order. You also find out that, like, she is first and foremost a member of the Praxic Order. People who are not aligned with the Last City or based in the tower. I just want to put that out there. Like, they're like, what's it? That order of the Titans, the Hammer Titans. What's it?
The Sunbreakers?
Yes, the Sunbreakers, who I think they're on Mercury. Mm-hmm. Like, they're also not associated with the tower, though they might align themselves with them at some time. So it's like, keep that in mind. She's a member of the Hidden. But I, in that way, kind of view it as, you know how, like, in spy movies you have an asset in the foreign country, especially when it's based on a U.S. government being in action? Like, they're your agent, but they're not your citizen?
Sure, gotcha, yeah.
Like, it reminds me kind of that. And so, for sake of argument, I'll say she's an asset. This asset has decided that the decision of the Vanguard to leave the Drifter alone, as you learn throughout her letters, is wrong, according to her. And so she starts chasing after him. And as you go through the letters and you see how she deals with gathering information and how she deals with interacting with potential suspects, she just burns it all. Anyone who resists, she burns. And I know it's easy to say that, these were dredgens, these were bad guys. These were wannabe dredgens at best.
It's pretty clear that most of these aren't actual dredgens. They're just basically guardians that have either taken motes of darkness out of the Gambit play area, or are just basically playing around.
Screwing around, or not even like screwing around is a bad word, but starting down the dangerous path, a la Dredgen Yor. Which is the bagels?
Yeah, that's kind of what it seems like she's hinting at, that most of these guardians are headed down this path, therefore we must stop them and re-educate them, is the term that she uses.
Well, if re-education doesn't sound off any internal alarms, like, right away, like, I don't know about you, but nothing I've learned about the Vanguard is playing my The Guardian. This whole time has ever made me think, like, no, we need to send this dude to a camp. He clearly doesn't see our way. Let's just re-educate him.
Yeah, re-education, an iffy term at best, just based on the history of the term.
Yeah, I honestly can't think of any positive light that term has ever come up.
It's got all the negative connotations it could possibly have.
Yeah, I mean, and I'm not a dialogian on that term. To reference the Focus Fire Chat episode 200, but I really have issue with that sort of mindset, to where no. I'm right, you're wrong. You need to be made to agree with me if you're going to live. Otherwise, she burns you with praxic fire.
The moral quandary of this specific situation right here by itself. Let's compare it to a situation like 1984, where people are inherently always at war with each other, at least ideologically, based on what the government tells you. And in this situation where we're always at war with the darkness, which is arguably a more concrete concrete threat in our universe, in the Destiny universe. So in our situation, is it ever worth the contemplation where we would seek out to root any sort of fledgling darkness that is taking root? Despite the moral implications of basically rounding up guardians that take this path and having to re-educate them, take them to a camp essentially and say, no, that is wrong. You can't do this, or we're gonna
do
whatever.
That's what's so hard to tack down about this situation, though, because the darkness at the time that she's acting from was not a defined enemy. Like, and as we all remember in D1, I know they've changed it since then, but remember when everything was a minion of the darkness? And
clearly, only like Hive and the Hive alone.
Well, with what we learned about the Speaker, and this is me trying to make it all work because they haven't said that's not canon. Trying to make it all work with the Speaker being the head of everything in D1. And what we've learned subsequently in D2 about what a propagandist he is in all the subsequent media, through Osiris, even if you look back on Lysander, which is another topic we can cover sometime. Stay tuned, listeners. But you just learn that you can't really trust that source of information, because if you look at it from, like, we were an agent of the Tower that whole time, so our HUD was based on the Tower's information, so if the Tower listed everyone as a minion of the darkness, like, who's to say that's not what Anor sees whenever these things, like, blip up on her screen? Not her screen, but, like, you know what I mean. Like, her HUD. Her heads-up display. And so I just wonder if it's sort of like a play on that. Everything that's presented to Anor is a minion of the darkness that has to be purified and burned away with praxic fire. Because, I mean,
Sorry.
the only other agent we have that we know of Praxic Fire was Ariana 4 that we interacted with. There's other agents that we've read about in the lore, but the only other one that we've interacted with that's a Praxic Fire. I think is Ikora Praxic Fire also? I don't think
See,
so.
I don't think so, but I'm not 100% sure on that.
Yeah, I don't think she is, but the only other one that is coming off the top of my head right now is Ariana 4. And as we all know from the strike that I'm sure we've played more times than we care to remember at this point, her mind went immediately to like, no, we have to destroy the darkness at all costs. And Ariana 4 happened to be right, and she sacrificed herself for us to get through that strike. But what if Honor's wrong? What if she's just labeled something or someone as an agent of the darkness, and now she's got blinders on? That's all she can see. She's got tunnel vision.
And that is absolutely the danger of basically the win at all cost mentality that she apparently has, at least to start with, being convinced that she's absolutely right and taking every angle available in order to pursue that topic to its end, and finding a way to find that the Drifter is evil because she's
Well,
convinced.
and I think it's also worth pointing out that like the whole time she's acting like, how could you not like question his motives, this, that, the other, and the whole time I'm always wondering, she never once asked herself why the Vanguard might be allowing this.
Yeah,
As
she never even just stopped and thought about it
and that's
at all.
assuming she was right. Like if I'm for sake of argument saying she's 100% right on anything she's saying, she never once stopped and thought, why would the Vanguard allow this? People she that she believes in that she is not seeking retribution against.
I have no argument against that. My our gung-ho cop metaphor from earlier. Basically, she's going to the judge with evidence or with a lack of evidence, and the judge is saying, "Come back with evidence." And she's like, "Ah, I think I'm just gonna wiretap this guy that I suspect."
I view her as more like a McBain type, a la The Simpsons. I was elected to read, not to read. Snaps her fingers and everything explodes. Like, that's just me.
I get it. I appreciate it.
I would 100% with that other. But yeah, it really bugged me the whole time playing this, and I played both sides on different characters. My main sided with the Drifter, 'cause that's a threat, in my view. I typically play like, I don't know if a lot of people do this. I typically play my main character in Destiny as like the decisions I would make when they're available. So I've had a character who both killed Mithrax and sided with Honor, and I had a character who spared Mithrax and sided with the Drifter.
Kind of role playing the character a little bit to justify your actions maybe a little bit. I do some of that.
Yeah, like a little bit of RP, but it's more just like I want to get like both ends of the content. So I was
That too.
curious what like her letters to her agent would be, as opposed to like, you know what I mean?
I get it completely.
But yeah. So, full disclosure, and I didn't intend this that way. I have one of my three characters. I have one of each class. It was my warlock who sided with Anor.
And Warlock sided with her. Just more so because it felt again, I was role playing a little bit. I was like, it seems like they would probably side with the Norm more so than my hunter.
That's right, 'cause they would look at paper facts.
Don't need none of that fancy learning.
Well, they would need that, like, I don't know, man. It's just like I always thought it was such a hard sell, and I think this is why I was always meant to be a hunter main, but like it was just always a really hard sell that like you would side with someone you've met and been working with for, I think it was like 3 months, 3 to 4 months at that point. You'd been like having a great time with the Drifter for like 4 months, and then someone just emails you out of the blue like, hey, spy on this dude for me. Like, she might as well be the prince of Nigeria. Trying to reference what we said at the start of this, she might as well be the prince of Nigeria asking for your bank account information so that he can send you money, in
That's
my
when you
view.
walk up to Vanguard IT support and say, "Who the hell is this? Why are they
Oh,
emailing
God. I
me?"
tell you what, I tell you what, as an IT professional, I would love to meet the Vanguard's IT person. And I seriously hope it's a Guardian. I
Who the hell is
seriously.
Andor, and why are they being caught by my spam
He's just looking at her. He's looking at her web address. He's like, well, she's from a different domain. She's Praxic Fire. How'd she should have been caught in our firewall. I didn't know we whitelisted them. I need to talk to the network guys now. Hundred percent. So, I don't know. The bagels, with Anora, like, I kind of feel like it's one of those things that's gonna come back to bite you if she ends up being the canon person. Like, and I'm not saying how it's gonna turn out. Like, I feel like it's gonna go one of two ways. I feel like she is going to be, if say it became canon that we sided with her. And Bungie hasn't gone either way yet, though they have commented on other such instances like Mithrax, where the community decided to spare him, and now that's been canon in the story. If they had said that most of us had sided with her, like, I just feel like there's going to be so many consequences.
I don't think there's that same issue in the lore here because seemingly you can have two random guardians choose the opposite paths and the story still works together with that. You can have one guardian that helped Anor plant the bugs and gather all the intelligence, and you still end up in the same point. Where if you sided with the Drifter and just did your own thing, basically, you still end up at the same point because Anor eventually backs off, even if it's somewhat reluctantly, and at the point where she's still spying on the Drifter to some extent, she's certainly backed off.
So you know how if you side with a Nor, the Drifter calls you a snitch? I feel like canonically, for like, the capital TG, the Guardian, that's gonna eventually come into play. Because ever since your character, whichever character you did that win, the Drifter always calls them the snitch. So that's where I'm thinking eventually Bungie is gonna have to make like a canon reference, because you can't all be the Guardian and the Guardian canonically chose one side or the other, unless it's just like not important, and then why even have a season about it?
The lore kind of skirts around that issue, though. If you read into Anor's cards, it refers to the other guardian as somebody that is assisting the Drifter or
But hear
the.
me out. But hear me out. I'm saying for your interactions with these characters, like they. If you
Okay, I see
side,
what you mean. Your
yeah, like if you side,
personal character
yeah, so like if
interactions.
you, at the end of either one, like either you've assisted Anor in preventing something or you've assisted the Drifter in getting something by Anor. Now, like canonically, you might be able to say, like, well, these were two separate events, not two sides of the same event, even though you would do them at the same step, which is a little confusing. But I guess like guardians are widespread enough that maybe it's a little different and like canonically all could happen. Eventually, whoever ends up being right and who you have to work with in the story, that's gonna come into play. Because if your guardian sided with Anor and it turned out the Drifter was the person you need to be on the side with, I can't see a reason why the Drifter would bring you in on something or ask for your help if you're a snitch.
Still see it happening. The Drifter seems to accept you regardless.
He
It's
holds a grudge if you're a snitch.
does hold a grudge, but I feel like he's still I think they would work a way around that. It seems like the lore kind of twists itself into knots, even avoiding just referring to the players that are the players that are assisting Anor versus the players who are assisting the Drifter as the same player.
Well, all right, Husker Du. Switch it back the other way. Switch it back the other way. Why would Anor work with you if you sided with the Drifter?
Because Honora eventually realizes that she's wrong.
She doesn't eventually realize that she's wrong. She eventually realizes, in my view, that she doesn't have the resources to keep going.
Eventually, she realizes what the scheme is, though. She realizes that that Shin and the Vanguard are trying to basically filter out some dredges.
But she knew that the whole time.
She did not. She knew not that. I think she was pretty much out of the loop
I know,
from.
like I my interpretation of her letters is that she knew the Vanguard was telling her to keep out of it. She knew that the Vanguard was saying leave the Drifter alone, that he had a pass. She knew that everyone knew, both sides, that they were working with Shin Malphur. Like, Shin Malphur was someone in high regard. And I don't know if she necessarily knew about the connection between the Drifter and Shin Malphur. That all being said, at the end of it, in her last letters, I didn't really interpret it as her saying that she like understood what was happening now and they'd come to some consensus. I took it as her giving up. Or at least like feeling like she had done the most that she could based on the outcome of the other half of that quest, if you had taken the other side, if what you're saying, like
I definitely
to your
don't think
point.
she still trusted the Drifter or anything close to that. I think it was more so that she realized that the Vanguard had a reason for this and they were letting it continue, despite the cagey past of the Drifter and or his machinations.
I still didn't get that. I still didn't get that from the end of her story. I just got that as she like thanked you for her investigation and that you had helped her track down a bunch of and like she still seems pissed off when like certain portions of her story, the Drifter, for example, like aren't brought to like her version of justice. I really like the whole time I was reading that, I was just like, okay, so you're gonna keep going with this in the future, or like you're just backing off for now to lie in wait until you can strike? Like, I didn't take it like she was quitting at all.
It's pretty open-ended as far as her interpret. Basically, I think you could interpret it either way, that either she's going to eventually pick up her investigation when she can, or whenever the Drifter slips up and makes a mistake and reveals himself as evil. Something like that,
I don't.
if that ever happens.
Yeah, I don't think Dredge and Hope is gonna be evil.
I'm not saying that he will be. I'm really just
I
saying that if we turn it to 11 and all of a sudden
Ooh.
the Drifter turns out to be a truly evil character and we've been building him an army of taken primevals so that he can take over the rest of humanity or something like that, she will be ready with pitchfork in hand.
The bagels, you know what you just did? You said the magic word. Pee-wee Playhouse. Ah! Alarm. Wow, I just made us old. I'll edit that out. But the bagels, you just said the magic word. Let's turn this up to 11. I feel like we're maybe on different spectrums of things, but let's say that Anor was right. Or Anor was wrong. You can state what you think, or maybe talk about both, but like state what you think you're going for before you give your explanation. What do you think it would take to make Anor, if you were to look back on all the things on Destiny and be like, you know what, Anor was right, what would it take to make that happen?
View Anor as purely right, just based on the fact that her she is so one-dimensional in her focus that she can't see, she's completely blindsided by anything else that would come at her, so she can't see contradictory evidence against the Drifter, at least initially. She's just so on a one-track mind, she's so focused on that, and then you can see it again when she calls out Kallus later on in the if you read the Chronosaurus gear lore, she calls out Callus, and she's just one mind focus. She's just like, Callus is clearly evil. We need to go eliminate him now. I don't care about anything else. Just do it. It's pretty clear that she can never be just completely right based on that mindset alone, in my opinion. However, I do believe that she might be at least partially right in her caution about some of this stuff. And as a subordinate, that's not necessarily a bad place to be. My thought process being that we need people that are constantly pessimistic or at least cautiously questioning anybody who the Tower either allies with or associates with, especially in the case of like Callus, because it's pretty clear that he should not be an ally, but the Vanguard is like, yeah, he's not doing anything against us. We can't really do anything about him. We're just going to let him sit off to the side. It's okay to question that. And Anor clearly has good motivations from that perspective. However, her methods and just blatant idealism are very questionable. That's my thought process anyway.
So I would only offer encounter yes and to what you were saying in your explanation of what makes Anor work. A society needs people to question, and I realize how I sound saying this. A military does not. A military, which is what the Vanguard and the Last City's defenses essentially are. You can call them a defense force, you can call it whatever they want. You need to trust the people that know more than you do. Now, if you lose faith in those people, that's one thing. But that's not what happened here. Somehow Anor made some mental gymnastics to where she still believes in the Vanguard and the Last City and the Tower, but just not specifically the Drifter.
Start up that point.
And to me, that raises an essential conflict and kind of calls into question any decision she makes. Because you can't have faith in one thing, but not have faith in its decision.
And I completely get the military aspect, I agree with. If the Vanguard, which is completely based around military actions, almost entirely. It has some political implications as well. But
it's kind of, maybe we should do a rabbit hole on this someday, because it's kind of like, well, it's kind of like a militia.
Yeah.
Like, we're not, at least from the Hunter standpoint, like, we're not part of, like, any order or anything. We're just all, like, able to fight and will be called upon when needed to. Whereas the Hidden, though, yo, that's a military agency. Like, any way you slice it, that's a disciplined agency. And so you either believe in your higher-ups or you don't. And if she doesn't, then she doesn't represent the Vanguard, in my view.
Sure.
If I had to crank it up to 11, where I was going with in your question, I would honestly need there to be some, like, very, very blatant Anor was right narrative. I would need there to be, like, us stumble upon the Drifter literally handing these motes of darkness to the Darkness Chief, who has yet to be revealed.
Some Oryx analog, something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, or maybe that reflection of us. Or, like, maybe he's dragging them all in a big knapsack to the triangle ship. Or some...
Oh, see you guys later. I'm picking the winning side.
Yeah, like something like that. Like, without that blatant of a betrayal, because it's really hard for me to say Anor was right, because I feel like we as a player, not a character, but as, we as, like, the person who's able to look at all the lore surrounding everything, we know a lot more than she does. And I feel like everything we know about the Drifter is that he presented a facade, but was actually doing this awesome thing with Shin Malfur in this regard to attracting Dredgens. We also can very much more easily say that he was helping Shin Malfur with this persona, because if we look at the Drifter, we know that this isn't his original persona, and it probably won't be his last, unless, you know, he dies. And I think knowing that, knowing the purpose of the persona in connection with Shin Malfur and other characters of great import within the lore, I think it's really hard for me to say that Anora was right, one, but two, like, I feel like her faith was a little misplaced. Like, she didn't have faith in any institution that she represented. She had only faith in my view, arrogance in herself.
Definitely and, plays into her character. She does seem like she's quite arrogant.
Right?
But I do want to build upon that thought process there just a little bit, because there is one final lore entry that I think is important for this discussion, and it's the instability card from the Stolen Intelligence book released in the Season of the Drifter. I'm going to read an excerpt from that.
You bitch.
In the spirit of honest self-reflection, in the face of justified skepticism, we have begun to discuss the possibility of stepping down to invite new leadership into our place, as well as the general merits of disbanding the Vanguard entirely, largely because we believe that the crisis of identity will plague anyone who steps into this role. We recognize that this is ill-timed, and we will endeavor to involve the consensus, the Guardians themselves, and all other interested parties in the discussion as appropriate. I specifically invite the Hidden to closely monitor the situation without my involvement. Should you agree that we are doing more harm than good, please do not hesitate to take whatever actions you agree are necessary. Now, I read this quote. It's from Ikora, clearly. I read this with a caveat. It looks like it's addressed to Anora or the Hidden. It's not quite clear on that frame, but it does look like it's intended to be read by somebody. It looks to me like Ikora is directly expressing her doubts about the Vanguard and their plans, and that the Hidden, and possibly specifically Anora, should question those decisions and possibly override any command they maybe not override is the correct word, but override their order to not investigate the Drifter specifically. That's my I want to basically add that to Anora's record. It doesn't clear her name, because clearly she is, if not a lone ranger, just throwing everything to the wind and going after the Drifter. She is clearly some sort of single-minded person, just hell-bent to accomplish a goal, no matter what the cost. But at least this points to a possible reason as to why she was so hell-bent on looking into the Drifter.
So I would only offer, in addition to your point, the first two paragraphs there, I believe that that card of instability is inviting the Hidden to monitor the Vanguard themselves.
Not so very that well they
well but so that they don't become authoritarians. So the scope of that being, I don't think the Drifter, and maybe perhaps their decision to I guess your point to, like, maybe their decision to allow the Drifter to stay in the tower was something to set off that regard, but in the spirit of that command and like letter, whoever this was, like, ended up being addressed to. And I guess to your point, there is in the decryption key, like, an AUN in there, like, oh man, like, but how on the nose would that have to be? Like, that's not very, like, encryptive. I feel like the spirit of this is when the Vanguard makes a questionable decision, you investigate the Vanguard. You don't go after the decision. Nothing that Anora did, as far as we're aware, had anything to say critical or not, maybe not anything to say critical, that's not right. It had nothing to persecute for the Vanguard. Nothing that she tried to do would have held the Vanguard accountable for anything.
Sure. And I can completely agree with that.
So I would be hard pressed to say, and I mean, it is a very good point that this came out in the season of the Drifter. And I think that's very important to look at. But like, for me, this was a call for self-regulation, and she invited the investigatory unit of the Vanguard to take charge in that. To me, that doesn't say, oh yeah, like, you disagree with our decision, all right, so go harass this dude. You know what I mean? Like when you disagree with, if you're a Noor and you disagree with what the Vanguard did, do you just harass the person that they made the decision on, or do you investigate the Vanguard that you actually have qualms with?
No, I'm not saying that Anor is completely in the right here. I'm just saying this is a possible.
Well, she also burns people with Praxic fire, like, she's fucking crazy.
No, don't get me wrong. I do believe that Anor is at least partially in the wrong.
At least partially, she burns people. I'm snapping my fingers like it's like it's fucking Full Metal Alchemist, and she just like burns people with a glove.
But she does show some elements of restraint too, and she doesn't do any final deaths like Shin does. She's always restraining their ghosts. I know it's to bring them in for re-education, which is, as we discussed earlier,
a fate worse than death.
It's a huge issue, but certainly it's. It's not the final death, even.
Not killing someone in lieu of re-education is not the best argument, in my view.
I know.
Is not the best argument. Perhaps, like, not the best. Not the best way to bring me on board.
No, I agree.
like maybe you can come up with something, some other way to convince me. But like, these guys, we're gonna re-educate them. Like, huh?
I'm just trying to argue purely in the gray space that is a galactic war of that perhaps she had motivations that were somewhat justified if her methods were poor. That's all I'm trying to establish. I know you don't agree, and I don't expect you to. I'm just trying to bring the question up for that, and at least open people's minds a little bit, I guess, is my whole thought process.
We can do that. We can also send them to Ba Sing Se, a la Last Airbender. we can challenge people's minds as they go away. Well, I think that's all I got. I think her loose cannon status has been established.
Mm-hmm. Firmly.
I think that we have both our sides on it. The Bagel's final verdict. How much of a zealot and of a, the my words don't have to be yours, how much of a, how much of a,
governmental overreach or something like that?
How extrajudicial?
Yeah, there you go, that's the right word.
How extrajudicial is Anor? And you can give that statement your own, like, scale of plausibility. You can give plausibility to parts of that statement. How do you feel?
She's definitely acting outside of the normal means of obtaining information, and basically how the Vanguard typically operates. We don't know a whole lot about the Hidden as far as how their typical operations go. Ideally, this wouldn't typically be how their operations are run, but regardless, it's pretty clear she's a little bit of a lone gunman, and she's gonna do what she's gonna do. Gets a little blindsided, or a little gets her blinders on, and she goes gung-ho about it. So, yeah, 25, she does her thing.
25, she's off the rails?
Yep.
Alright. I'm gonna give her a 57 off the rails. Just because, how can you listen to Ikora, to your point, with your lore entry of instability, how can you listen to Ikora to look into things, but not listen to Ikora to not look into things? Sounds like someone's picking and choosing.
That's fair. I can respect that.
I personally think, especially, it's just so fucking weird to me that someone would email you and expect your loyalty to them.
Right? That's the weirdest part about all this. Just out of the blue.
No, yeah.
I should look into the Drifter. I know you don't know who I am, but...
I'm a Nigerian prince. Please give me your bank information. To one and any Nigerian listener, this is not a cultural thing. We mean to go on the trope that a Nigerian princess sent you.
Precisely.
An email, and I sincerely apologize that that's how that trope is licensed. I hereby recant all Nigerian prince tropes for this show going forward. After...
I make no such promises.
After... Now. Now we can't do it. It'll be edited out if you try to or bleeped. I think we've taken this every which way but loose. Is there anything else you needed... You wanted to explore?
I think I'm gold on the topic.
Well, the Bagels, do you have any shout-outs for this week as we wrap up the show?
A shout out! I made an Argentinian friend this week playing the Grandmaster Nightfall.
Yay!
That was quite the challenge, and he showed us a few tips and tricks for the strike of Brachisong.
Yay!
For those who are not in the known for the Nightfall this week, it was hard. I'll say that much. It was a very very hard Nightfall,
well,
and he showed us a few spots just to get us through safely, and it made it a lot easier. So. That was a blast.
Well, what is it? When I finally coax you into running pinnacles with me, after I run like the pinnacles I can run myself, I'll be able to do it also this week, and you can teach me his tricks.
I will teach you the ways. Teach you the ways.
As you walk me through it. Guide me to the bagels. I want to give a big shout out to the Focus Fire chat for hosting me on their... At the time of this recording, episode 200, it was amazing. That was just posted this week. That was a lot of fun to do, and I was really happy to be your guest. So shout out to FFC, the Greater Lore Network, and all listeners who are joining us by way of that. I think with that. That's all we have for you this week, guys. Stay safe, stay sane, and bye-bye.